even though it's unfortunately it's not Shabbos, it's Masai Shabbos, and we still have the Iris of Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos, but because of the difficulty of space and the unavailability of our earlier place, so this is what we have to do. And I spoke to Gedolei HaTorah, who said that we should do it this way. For certain people it makes it easier to come, but unfortunately we're deprived of the Kedusha Shabbos, and that hurts. And I'm very, very concerned anytime there's any minig that's not kept 100%, it scares me. So Hashem Yisbarach should help us. He knows that the Ratzon is that there should be more Jews that are learning, more Jews that are able to hear it. And we should be Zeichem Mitzvah Hashem to learn together in Yerushalayim. The Ratzon Hashem is the way for each and every Jew to enter into the Kedusha of the Yontav of Pesach, is the same way that Chazal began Masechta Pesachim. That's the beginning. If Chazal began with the Mitzvah B'dikas Chametz, early Yudalad Baikin is a Chametz L'Haner. Chazal begin Masechta Pesachim, the world of Pesach begins with B'dikas Chametz, with the Mitzvah B'dikas Chametz L'Haner. That means, Rabbi Yisrael, that Pesach begins with searching, with looking, with trying to find something. And we understand that the only time that searching or looking for something is meaningful, if the person has a hergish, if he recognizes and acknowledges that there's something that's missing, that's the only time that you look for something, unless you're crazy. But a normal person only looks for something if he has a hergish that there's something that's missing, something that's chaser, that's absent, that's an elam, that's gone. So Chazal and the Gemara there bring a pasuk in Svan, and it's so meaningful that it's found in the Navi Tzvanya for many reasons, but Svanya means sofon, which means so hidden. It means something is hidden and you're looking. Each and every one of us is trying to find something that's hidden. So the Gemara brings a pasuk in the Navi Tzvanya. From where do we know that we're supposed to check, that checking requires a candle? So the Gemara brings Navi Tzvanya. V'haya v'esaihi. And it will be in that time. Achapes es Yerushalayim baneiros. I will search Yerushalayim with candles. And from here the Gemara learns that chipus, searching, is with a candle. Because achapes Yerushalayim baneiros. That the Rebbein Shalom Kivyochel is searching Yerushalayim with candles. And the Rebbein Shalom wants each and every Jew to look for Yerushalayim and through the streets of Yerushalayim with candles. And from here we learn the din, that B'dikas Chometz is La'or HaNer. That the mitzvah of B'dikas Chometz is with the light of the candle. What's the relationship, what's the connection between searching for Yerushalayim and looking for Chametz, L'or HaNer? So listen to the words of the Sfas Emes. Ki inyan ha-mishkan u-beis ha-mikdash nimtza b'chol ish Yisrael gam kein. We spoke about this many times. The Sfas Emes, Chusagelenu, says that the inyan of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, the inyan of the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash of Yerushalayim is nimtza b'kol ish Yisrael gam kein, is in each and every Jew. There's that which is called the Mishkan, that Likud is called Yerushalayim. Ki inyan, as it says in Pasuk, v'shachanti v'soich, I will dwell within you, as Chazal tells us, it means in each and every one of you. U'kfi ma'ashu mevar ha'odem etzloi, ki kol achiyas me'an neshama. Sfas Emes writes that the search for Yerushalayim within oneself is the search for one's own soul. It's looking for that truth, the deepest truth of all, which is that my chiyus, my life is not something which is biological, something which could be snuffed out, something which is decided in Congress or in court. But the life of a human being, the life of a Ben Yisrael, comes from his neshama, the chiyus is from the neshama. Kikolachias and Hanashama, that's called Yerushalayim. That part of a Jew is called Yerushalayim, it's called Bishamikdish. Vahainu Shayesh Nakuda Achas Tahira Bakol Ish Yisrael Sasemis writes. There's a pure Nakuda hidden deep within every Jew. Rakshihinisteras Ugnuza Be'emus. But it's very, very, very hidden. Just like Yerushalayim is hidden. The Yerushalayim that we're able to see now with our eyes, the Sfasemis was never zeichet to see. It's crazy. No, we're zeichet to see Yerushalayim. The Sfasemis never saw Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim that we see is not the Yerushalayim that once was. There are little pieces that are, there are little pieces that are reaching up from Yerushalayim, reaching out to our eyes. The Yerushalayim is genuza mamish. It's deep. It's hidden. And inside each and every one of us, he says, she nesteris genuza be'emes mikol makom svasemes ends. Nevertheless, yochel liyos nimsa ayde chipus b'neiros. Nevertheless, it's possible for each and every one of us after all of these years. And no matter how buried Yerushalayim the Neshama is inside of us, it's possible to search with candles, Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam, with mitzvahs, with Avodas Hashem. It's possible for us by living a life of candles, of mitzvahs, Kiner Mitzvah, to find the Yerushalayim that's buried deep inside. Ayidei Achipus, by searching. Ad Kan Loshmas Vazenas. So we've learned so far from Ayin Lisvasemes that the search for Yerushalayim is nothing less than the search for the Neshama, for our own Neshama. And everybody knows, and I decided I want to speak in a very, very simple and clear way and not to become lost in Marmakimus and things that would lead us astray. Very, very poshut. Everybody knows. There's so many of us, and we are the few who are left in the world, the Shevis HaPleita that still observes Hashem's Torah. That's who we are. But even amongst ourselves, certainly Jews who are not observant, but even amongst ourselves, the whole feeling of the Neshama, the whole Tchushas Achayim, that awareness of the presence of something deeper, of the Yerushalayim within ourselves, is lost, is missing. And in Mela, the Chiyas, and the Simcha Sechaim, the Chedva Sechaim, Yerushalayim is referred to by David Malki Mashiach as Mesois Kol Ha'aretz. Yerushalayim is the joy of the earth. And Yerushalayim, when it's buried, when it's hidden, means that there is a wellspring of joy, of unending joy, that's buried inside each and every one of us, in the pnimius, which is in the neshama. And if we're unable to experience that chiyus, the levedikai, the vitality, the excitement of being alive, of being a Jew, and if we're unable to experience the simcha sechaim, the joy of life, even though we're so blessed with so many good things, it's because Yerushalayim is missing. So how is this connected to Bedikas Chametz, which we see from Chazal, from the Gemara, that the din of Bedikas Chametz v'ner is Achapes Yerushalayim v'ner. Is the search for Yerushalayim. But the Teretz is, and that's what we're going to talk about now, that in order for any of us to actually seriously engage in the search for the missing Yerushalayim, for the missing Neshama inside of us, for the Nekuda Tahir the Sfasemis is writing about, in order for us to seriously engage in that search, Kodem Kol, we have to be honest and admit that there are all kinds of klipas that are surrounding Yerushalayim, just like now. Jews want to build apartments in Mala Adum. Have you heard about this? Jews want to build apartments in Mala Adum, and we need reshus in the entire world. Because there are klipas that are mamas surrounding Yerushalayim. There are klipas, there are shells, there's filth, there's tumah. that surrounds Yerushalayim and that's preventing Jews themselves from entering into the holiness of the city. And so too, there is chametz that surrounds the neshama. And this chametz that is surrounding the neshama, the chametz that surrounds Yerushalayim, it's much easier to identify our enemies in Eretz Yisrael. There, you know, there's a different license plate that Yishmaeli has. You could recognize the oivim if you're a little bit familiar with the landscape of the land. You could recognize the chametz that's infesting our land. But to recognize the chametz that surrounds the Yerushalayim within a person is much, much harder. But it's because of that chametz, Rabbi Isai, that we can't approach Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim is unapproachable, we can't get there. Just like we can't get to the Kodesh HaKadosh because of the filth of the mosque that's sitting on the Har HaBayis, so too, there is a chametz, there is a mosque that's sitting on the Har HaBayis inside each and every one of us. And that chametz is preventing us from entering into the Sha'arei Yerushalayim, to the gates of the city, within ourselves. And therefore, in order to look for Yerushalayim with candles, in order to try to find the Yerushalayim within us, kaidim, we have to look for chametz, we have to take care of the chametz, we have to find it, and then we have to burn it and get rid of it. So what does that mean? It sounds like something very fancy. Listen. In a couple of days, we're going to say a few times the Nusach of Bittul Chametz. And the Nusach of Bittul Chametz, Kol Chamir v'Chamir, Bike b'Shusi, Chamitei, Loichen v'Chazis, Loichazit, Lehave Bottle Ka'afu Da'ara. Any Chametz in my possession, anywhere I've seen, I didn't see, it should be totally nullified and be like the dust of the earth. That's the nusach of bittul chametz. Nullification of chametz. What is chametz? In order for us to know what we're looking for. So in halacha, everybody knows what chametz is. Chametz is when you have one of the chameshes, mini dog, and one of the five types of grain that comes into contact with water, with warmth, and you know that it's just a question of time, a few minutes. But if it's left alone, if it's left in that state, unattended, if it's just left alone, you don't have to do anything. If it's just left unattended in that state, it's machmitz, it ferments, it becomes chametzdik. That means the mahus, listen carefully, the definition of chametz, the essence of chametz, is something that maybe once upon a time is givaldic. It was good. It was a delicious fresh piece of layer cake. It was a new Danish. It was a hot piece of rye bread, whatever you like. It was givaldic. It was dough that was filled, originally it was filled with tremendous, tremendous potential. Something happens at some point. Something was postponed. Something was delayed. Something took too long. And as a result of that, this object was misrachek, was nisrachek, was distanced from its original mahus, its original quality, its original pureness, and it was spoiled, it fermented, and it was given chametz, became chametzdik. So that means, on a very, very simple and straightforward level, it means that there are many things in life that were once upon a time good. But over zmanam, the time has already passed. At the beginning, at some point, it was not only good, but it was something which was very wonderful and very helpful. The sweetest thing in the world is to see a little child playing in the park, right? Playing on a swing, on a seesaw. One of the most disturbing things is to see a 40-year-old adult playing on the internet, yeah? So you'd say, but what's wrong? When I was a little boy and I was playing, everybody stood on the side, all the Zaydas and Bobbies and aunts and uncles, and going, oh, isn't that sweet? Look at Yanka, look playing. And now when I play a little bit at 3 in the morning on the internet, my wife comes and tells me, I'm a lo yitzluch, I'm worthless, I'm wasting my life away. I don't understand. If playing Etzem is a good thing, what happened to it over the years? And the Teretz is, obviously, there are many things in life that once upon a time were good and were part of growing up and were taken for granted as being perfect and fine. But they're left unattended. One doesn't think them over and reconsider and reevaluate. And over the years, in an almost imperceptible way, something began to spoil, began to ferment, and eventually at some point it began to stink. And it became chametz dik. There are beliefs that we have since we're children. There are emunas that we have, beliefs in certain things, certain concepts, certain ideas. There are people that they're holding on to ideas that already have a long white beard and tails. Old ideas of what it means to be a Jew, old ideas of what it means to be a father, a child, a brother, a sister, a friend, old ideas. There are many of us who are holding on to such old expectations of what we expect to happen in life, of what has to happen, of what's kommt zu mir, of what's coming to me, of what I deserve. People who are in marriages that since Shever Brachos was finished, maybe even sometimes during Shever Brachos, they have tainus, complaints and tainus, old tainus against parents, old tainus against a husband, a wife, old tainus against friends, old tainus to the Rebbeinu Shalom, to the Hashem Yisbarach. And they're holding on to these tainus, they're holding on to these beliefs, they're holding on to these habits. Now, you know, once upon a time this was something which was probably very good. It was a very, very good thing at some earlier stage in life. It was a very good thing. And you know what? At some earlier time in your life, it might have saved your life and it helped you. It was very important for you to either think that way or to act that way or to live that way. And you needed it somehow in order to survive. But the person has held on to these old ideas, these old feelings, these old beliefs, these old habits, these old complaints, these old grudges for so long that they've already become chametzdik. And the reason that the person allows that to happen is obvious and clear. The teva of a person is the nature, the most basic nature of a person is to feel comfortable with that which you're familiar with. There are people after all these years that are still Met fans. I'm always in this fall from that. I don't understand how a person has never reconsidered over the years. All the years of failure and loss just because of 1969 and an occasional flare-up of hope. And yet there are people who will stubbornly hold on to the Mets. Why? Because Gdansk in 1969, Ron Swoboda caught the ball, you remember, and had crane pulls, Givaldi. And after all the years to hold on, it's charming and it's sweet, but it's sort of a Rachmanis, yeah? But it's the nature of a person to do that because you understand, at least, listen, they're losers, they're layutsos, but at least I know them, I'm familiar with them. I know the statistics, I know how many times they've lost, I know how many managers they've gone through and how many failures there have been. I know all of that, and it's my, it belongs to me. I have shaykhs, I have autographs from all of those batters that never hit 200. I have autographs from all of those people, and I saw them, and I was mishabed myself to that team, and I had 10,000 arguments in yeshiva from third grade already, how they're better than the Yankees. So what am I, now you're going to tell me when I'm 40 years old I should say, Libot of a Hebeka after the Ara? Now I should nullify the Chametz? It's crazy. I'm mishabed to that already. I'm a shuvah, I'm enslaved to that way of thinking, I'm enslaved to that way of looking at life. To people their Yiddishkeit is the same Yiddishkeit when they were 10 years old and 15 years old, maybe it was maybe even better. Because there was an innocence then. The same Yiddishkeit. I talked in shul 20 years ago and I continue to talk in shul. Statistically, it looks like I'm getting myself in trouble based upon all of the chazals that are stacked up against a person like that. I'm familiar with that way of life. I'm familiar with that. And I spoke in the shul where I grew up and in the shul where my Zayda was. We all spoke. And that's what we're going to do now because I'm familiar with that way of life. Obviously, I'm speaking about things here. They're not as scary. I'm giving examples that are not so frightening. Everybody understands. The things that were once upon a time very sweet and fresh and good and nice have over the years become stale habits that are often harming the person himself and harming those that he loves and harming everybody in his life. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. How many times I've had this conversation where a couple will come in and it turns out that there's a problem that usually the wife has a taina that the husband screams and carries on and has horrible temper tantrums and so on. And I'll ask the husband, is it true? And the husband will say, well, it's very exaggerated. I wouldn't say my wife is 1,000 times a week. It's not more than 980 times a week. But it's exaggerated. It's true, I do have a terrible temper, so why don't you change? Why do you do that? I have a temper. My father had a temper. My Zayd had a temper. All of the men in our family have yelled it to all of the women in our families. I don't want to change the Messiah that we have. This is the minig that we have. We understand that a person, at least he knows this way to respond. It's crazy. It hurts him. It hurts his wife. It hurts the kids. And we've all been part of this parasha, and a person knows that it's horrible, and you know that it's not anything that would befit the Chafetz Chaim or of Moshe at Tzadik. It just doesn't befit any Jew. Afal pinchein, it's familiar, I'm comfortable with it, I slip into it so easily. And everybody's afraid of changing. Everybody's afraid of change. That's why there's such resistance. Right? Some of the women here know, and I'm not making any comment about anybody's level of observance, but I've spoken to some of the women who have told me that when they came back to their old chevra and they were covering their hair, some of the old chevra said, oh, look who became such a tzaddikus all of a sudden. Oh, what happened? You must have had some Kool-Aid to drink or something. You became crazy. You became a fanatic. Everybody gets very nervous when there are changes that are made. The friends become very nervous because anytime one of the chabura changes, it's a question, how come nobody else is trying to think or change? And everybody here knows the difficulty of change is unbelievable to change. One nakud in one's life is so hard. Even on the simplest level, you know how many people stay at jobs? There are people who have a certain position, they're at a certain place. And for 30 years, he's griping about how, you know, I hate my boss, I'm so much smarter than him. I could, if it was my company, it would be 10 times more matzliach than what he's built it into. And all the people I work with, they don't know anything. I'm the kol yachol, the kol lum yachad. I'm the one who takes care of the whole place. And you know what? And what they pay me is horrible. And v'chul, v'chul. You hear people with all these kindness all the time. So then somebody, some chutzif will say, maybe you should change your job. So that's, what do you mean? Well, I've heard you, you know, for 30 years I've listened to your stories of how you hate your job, so maybe you should change. Maybe you should consider changing. Or maybe you should go take some courses. Maybe you should do something else. But you know, for that person to remain at that job, even though he has so many complaints about that job, even though he might hate it, but at least he knows what to expect. He knows every single day he comes in, he sees the same boss that he can't stand. He sees the same co-workers he detests. He has the same routine, and he knows that they expect no more or no less of him. Dayeinu. That's good. And because of all of this, Rabbi Sai, because of all of this and many other things, Jews, many, many Jews, simply stop believing in matzah. They stop believing that it's possible to live without this chametz, to remove the chametz, it's possible to live with this chadshus, with new, and they remain all of their lives avodim, mishubodim, mamish to the past, mishubodim to memories, mishubodim to an earlier way of life. And it's interesting, in Eretz Yisrael, the lashon that is used in Hebrew, which is really based upon the terminology of the Chachamim, the lashon that's being used is lahachmitz hizdanut. What does that mean, lahachmitz hizdanut? We would say to batch up an opportunity. Lahachmitz, mitzvah abol yodcha al tachmitzana. Lahachmitz hizdanut means I could have done something, I should have done something, but I didn't do it, and as a result of that, hechmatzti es ahizdamnus, meaning that this opportunity became chametzdik. I let it sit, and it became chametzdik. And their people's whole lives is chametzdik. And they're constantly talking about what once was, the mullah's gevein, like this and like that. And everybody knows that what was once fresh, hot bread is now chametz. And yesterday's ideas and yesterday's concepts that were fresh as a teenager and as a child, over the years have become chametzdik. And my concepts of life and my hashkofes achayim of the past that were once signs of my independence and my freedom to choose have in my present life become chametzdik. It chains that bind me to a life that's a lie, that's the whole thing is a shekin v'chaz of my whole life. And that which maybe yesterday was true, is now a very cheap ziyuk, some fake, some phony imposture of a life, even though as a child, as a young person, there was truth to it. And it was something that I believed in, it was something that was real for me back then. Now it's become chametz, it's a lie. And everybody knows what the tzaddikim have taught us. And yeah, the Bilatani has mamorim on this in here, but all this what I'm talking about, that little tiny difference between the two words, chametz and matzah. Because the ches and the mem are the same. The mem and the tzaddik are the same, but the difference between the ches and the hay and the chametz and the matzah, that little tiny little line, you have to be unbelievably honest, you have to be a searcher, a real searcher, an honest searcher with a candle to detect in your life sometimes that subtle difference between the ches and the hay, something that's chametzdik, that ches that is shut, that is closed, and that hay that's the letter of truth, of matzah. Therefore, there are two stages. There's bedikas chametz and there's bir chametz. There's the mitzvah of searching for chametz and there's the mitzvah to destroy the chametz. The mitzvah to search for the chametz is pushing each and every one of us to look at our old habits, to gather together. It's a lot easier to go put 10 little pieces of bread someplace in the house and to go for 15 minutes and look for them. Try to gather from your life. Try to gather 10 pieces of chametz, 10 ideas, 10 habits, 10 narishkeiten that have what? That over the course of life have become chametzdik. And to gather them together, Leil Pesach L'Or HaNer, Leil Yudad L'Or HaNer. Stage one, Shlav Aleph and Bedikas Chametz, means that the Baruch Shalom wanted each and every one of us to engage B'kum V'Aseh, to be proactive and look for those things in life and to gather them together in one place and to be painfully honest and say, Master of the Universe, I admit These are things in my life that I haven't thought about for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Habits and beliefs, feelings, ways of acting, things that I look at, things that I watch. Yesterday you were watching the show, today you're watching the show. Nothing changed from yesterday to today except the show got worse. Because you watch television when you were 10, so you can watch it when you're 30 and 60, and you hold on to it in the hospital room, in the nursing home when you're 120. Because this is who I am, this is what I've always done. Rabbi Shalom, help me to find, to admit that there's chametz in my life. And to find the chametz in my life. And to gather the pieces that have spoiled, that have fermented in my life, and to bring them together. And to look at them and to say, emes, that this is no longer relevant, it's no longer good for me. It's hurting me, it's hurting my wife, it's hurting my kids, it's hurting my husband, it's hurting everybody. Beis. Beis is beer chametz. To destroy the chametz. Beer chametz means that at this time of the year there's a gewaldige, gewaldige koyach that the Rebbeinu Shlom has given each and every one of us. After having detected the chametz around Yerushalayim, around the neshamas, the Rebbeinu Shlom gives a gewaldige koyach for each and every one of us to eliminate it in the fastest, most unbelievable, miraculous way possible. Because everybody knows that's the site of Pesach. I'm not even going to say this at length, because all of you have heard this 1,000 times, and I'm learning this now in your Haggadahs, in your Sforim, that the site, the Inyan of Pesach is Midalig, El Ahorim, Mekapitz, El Akroyas, El Gvoos, that Hashem is jumping over mountains and leaping over hills to redeem us. That means that a process that normally takes a long, long time to achieve, when it comes to Pesach, the Baruch Shalom said, which means we were wondering, how could the time of our redemption have arrived? There are still years that are missing. It hasn't come to the Cheshbon yet of 400 years. So how could it be redemption? The Baruch Shalom says, don't talk to me about numbers. This is a time Pesach, and the word Pesach itself means to jump and to leap, to be Pesach. This is a time when something which normally would take you weeks and months and years to correct, to get rid of, to burn away. There's a hashpah at this time of the year that each and every one of us can mamash get rid of these habits or these phony ideas of the past, the chametz. We can get rid of mamash keherif ayin in a moment. That 400 years could become 109, that you could eliminate right away. Chisim is a case lasses. And years can become moments of what? Of sincere effort. And with a sincere effort, it's possible, mamish, to jump into a new way of life. So it's scary. You talk to this, let's go back to this guy that's sitting at the same job for 30 years. He's getting paid half the money he could make if he were in a different job. If he would take a risk, half the salary. And you tell him, Yankel, try something new. He says, I don't have anything new yet. How can I leave my old job? So there is a certain thing. It's a Pesach Dikah thought, and you have to be careful the rest of the year. But there's a Pesach Dikah thought where a person would maybe, I know this, I'm not recommending anything for any individual person, but there is such a reckless thing that a person might occasionally do. It's a Pesach Dikah thought, which is what? I'm leaving this job even though I don't have another job. Because you know the reason he doesn't have another job? Because he doesn't really want to look for another job. Because he's afraid of change. Then there's a Pesach Dikah thought that allows him to skip, to leap, to jump, to pass over all of that fear that he has of change. And what does he do? He says, Ad kan. So his wife and everybody says, what are you talking about? You can't leave this job till you get another job. And you've been saying for the last 30 years, you're going to get another job. You sent out your resume. You get another, your resume is like sitting some in different places all over the world for all those years, and you didn't hear, you didn't know, you don't know. There is such a thing where a person is able to jump forward even though he doesn't know where he's going to land exactly. And even though generally speaking one has to be very careful, the Baruch Hashem wants Jews to be smart, we're supposed to be a smart people, and therefore to be smart means that you have a chesed, you have to be careful with what you're doing, you don't do anything reckless, especially if you have a wife and children, you have a family, you have to be very, very careful what you do with parnas and so on. But still, there's a certain midah that's a Pesach Dikta midah, where the Baruch Shalom says, I gave each and every one of my children unbelievable intuition. Now, it's true that Jews have business intuition also, but I'm only using that as a marshal. Obviously, what's infinitely more important is when it comes to changing our habits, to changing our lives, to getting over the chametz of our lives. So even though a person is saying, I don't know, I can't do it, how could I do it? It hurts. I can't change. It's very difficult for me to change. I'm afraid. And your whole life, you never get near Yerushalayim. Pesach gives the person the koyach to access that intuitive, neshamadik reality that's beyond this world. It's Pesach dik. Pesach means you can jump over, you can leap over, you can skip over all of those steps. Just do it. Stop talking about it so much. Stop thinking about it so much. Just do it. And that's why the whole yisoid of matzah is b'chipozn is rushing. Matzah is rushing. Al shum shaloi hispik b'tzeikim shalav l'sein ala hachmitz ad shenigel aleim elef malchem lochem kodesh baruch hu ge'olam. The only need of matzah, we say, now God is because it was everything was fast, and there wasn't time for the dough to rise and to become chametz. The Baruch Shalom's presence was being revealed to us. We had to run, we had to get out quickly, to chipazon, jumping. So the Kohen says, Reb Tzadik, everybody who ever learned Sikkas HaTzadik knows the first paragraph in Sikkas HaTzadik. It's Hafladik, the first words of Reb Tzadik in Sikkas HaTzadik. Reishis Knisas Ha'odim La'avodas Hashem. The beginning of one's service to God. The beginning of one's entering into the Avodas Hashem. Tzarech Lios B'chipozn. It has to be quickly. You have to jump. That's how we became a people. Pesach was B'chipozn. K'moshe Matzinu Pesach Mitzrayim. Which is what took place Pesach when we were in Mitzrayim in Egypt. Shahayin Nechel b'chipozn, the din was in Mitzrayim, it had to be eaten b'chipozn, quickly. We don't have that now, unfortunately we don't have, but Pesach Mitzrayim was b'chipozn, quickly. V'loy Pesach Doros, which means, Reb Tzadik says, it's true, in Mitzrayim, because that's where we're trying to tear ourselves away from the chametz. We're trying to tear ourselves away from the Egypt within us. We're trying to tear ourselves away from the Mitzrayim, from the Mitzrayim that's holding us back, in that old job, that old relationship, that old way of life. There are people who get married because they're going out with somebody for 10 years. You say, why are you getting married to the person? There's no shaykhus one to the other. It's 10 years of abuse and fighting. Yeah, but this is the only person I ever met who's ready to marry me. That sounds like a beautiful future they have ahead of them, of the two of this couple. It's a beautiful future. What does that mean? The Torah says Mitzrayim. A Mitzrayim means Meitzar. And the Meitzar that was in Egypt, Reb Tzadik says, in order to tear yourself away, you have to jump. In the future, Pesach Doiros, later on, you can make Hezbonis and work things out, but you first have to tear yourself away from the old stuff, from the chametz. He says, "Mibnei shahaz cholol lenatik atzmei mikol tayvus elam azeh shumakusha behem tzarich lishma harrega shemisayre bayrotz nashem." Because Reb Tzadik says that when you get that feeling, when you gather together your chametz finally, and you're honestly acknowledging and admitting that these are the habits, these are the beliefs, these are the lies that have set into my life that have become chametz dig. So finally, you've gathered them together. It's a leil shimurim. It's a precious day. It's a precious yom. It's Pesach. Pesach, the Baruch Hashem gives you the ability to jump over all the steps. It would be during the year, you wouldn't see, you wouldn't notice, and you would say, I'll think about it, I'll work about it, I'll work on it, I'll talk about it, I'll talk to somebody else about it. But when it comes to Pesach, Reb Tzadik says, you can jump out of that habit, out of that problem. Because when the moment is Nisai, Reb Tzadik says, when the moment is awakened, you have to grab it. The Lach Poizel Oisei Rega, quickly grab that moment. Lemaher lotzeis mishon, to pull yourself out of that place, out of Mitzrayim. Ula yuchal, perhaps you'll be able to. And then afterwards the Kohen says, afterwards you'll be able to go gradually into work on this new life that you've taken for yourself. When you've left the chametz out, now you're able to start and to look over things more carefully. And that's what matzah means. Matzah means without the cheshbonis. Matzah means leaping. Matzah means without anything that's phony, that's false, that doesn't belong. Matzah means the time of the spring, the Chag HaAviv, the Chodesh HaAviv, this time when everything is mischadish, when everything is fresh, when everything is new. This time when the earth itself throws away the chametz. Each and every one of us can throw away the chametz in our lives. Kuloi matzah. But Bemis, everybody knows that as hard as you clean the house, and as much as you really, really try, everybody knows those of the Sheiris HaPleitu who still check their homes for chametz and remain home for Pesach. You didn't think you were going to go the whole shmooze without at least giving one stuff. You know that it's hard, and as much as you clean. So I remember with one of the children, I don't remember which one of the children, but I remember one of the children, I mentioned this in the earlier shmuzin, they were sitting there once when we lived in Farakwa, sitting at Pesach, and one of the kids is sitting at the table with a plastic bag with pretzels on Cholamoid. Or Yontif, I don't remember. So the usual difference in the way that my wife and I react is very clear and obvious. I go into severe trauma and shock. And if I would have known Dr. Steve Levine back in those years, they sure would have called in Steve to help me out. My wife is, of course, much calmer. She says, there's no reason to murder a child that we had together. Just for a few pretzels. There must be some way that God would have us take care of the pretzels without hurting the child. And when I calm down, I say, maybe we could separate between the two of them. The child and the little plastic bag. So the same way you go over to, like, when there's got to be a kid that's like hanging over and playing, you know, by some dangerous place, you walk over very carefully, and you say, how you doing? Everything's okay. And then you grab and say, get over here, and you pull the kid. So I go over to the plastic bag, I say, you know, not to scare the child, I was just having the pretzels. And I walk over, and I grab the bag away, and I said, what are you doing with those pretzels? It's Pesach. I don't remember the kid was able to talk yet at that point. The kid said something like, oh, I have a lot of stuff in Perm that I hid. A lot of stuff. What do you think, I squander my savings like you? So as much as you try to find all the chametz, you know, it's very, very hard to find all the chametz. So you don't know, then, even if you're an honest person, you really are looking hard, you don't know whether or not you were able to really honestly get to all the stuff inside that doesn't belong, that's become chametzik. So the Baruch Shalom loves each and every Jew in the deepest way. Therefore, he was megalatas that there's an inyan of bitul chametz, which Rashi, the Ramban, bitul means belay, right? Now, what does that mean, bitul belay? It means that we stand up, Erev Pesach, by Bedikas, noch Bichas Chametz, and again by Bittel, by Bir Chametz, or this year it will be on Shabbos, and we'll say what? Kol Chamir v'chamir. Libotel v'hevi ka'afa da'ar, which means, Rabbi Shalom, I'm not sure if I got to everything, I don't know, because there's so many negiyas, can I say that I'm honest? Can I really, really say that I looked for everything? I don't know. But this much I could tell you, Rabbi Shalom, that I want very, very badly to be honest with myself. I want very badly to be real. I want very much to search. I want to be a searching Jew. I want to engage in the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. And I want very, very much to eliminate the Chametz from my lives, from my life. So at least when the person proclaims the Nusach of Bittul Belay, which is Bittul Belay, in other words, when he says, I don't want this, and if I don't know what it is, help me be free from this. If I can't find it, if I don't see it, if I don't know where it is, help me with the Shabbat Rebbeinu, then you take it away. Because I don't know. Because Bedikas Chametz is only ad mokum for the other magas. I can only reach so far into my past. I can only reach so far into my kishkis to dig out that stuff, that chametz. But Rebbeinu Shalom, ata yadata. You alone know. And therefore, Baruch Shalom, whatever I can't find, or I'm not honest enough to look for it, to find it, or I'm too afraid to find. I want to say, Baruch Shalom, Kaidam Kol, it's the bottle of the heavy ka'ar for the ara. Kol chamir v'chamir. The same way you start Yom Kippur. Kol nidre. Every single thing of the past that's holding me back. All of the things that I sworn were true once upon a time. Kol nidre. Kol chamir v'chamir. Every single drop. I just don't know, Baruch Shalom, you know. There's a booklet of tefillas from Rabbi Nosson, from Rabbi Nachman. Everybody knows that Rabbi Nachman told Rabbi Nosson to change his tayus to tefillas. And we have Lukutei Tefillas, which is very big and very hard and very long. And over the past few years, there have been wonderful Jews who have translated parts of Lukutei Tefillas of Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nosson's tefillas. And there's a spectacular little book that's called The Gentle Weapon, which has translated into the easiest and most accessible English some of Rabbi Nosson's tefillas. And this is how we cry out. This is our bittul chametz. To try to tell Hashem Yisbarach, I don't know, but you know, and help me. Dear God, listen, English. Dear God, teach me to begin anew. To renew myself along with all of creation. Just as you renew the entire world each day, show me how I can break free of the constraints of my habits, the restraints of my insecurities, the shackles of my unwarranted fears. Show me how to break free. Another tefillah. Teach me, dear God, to make a fresh start, to break yesterday's patterns, to stop telling myself I can't when I can, I'm not when I am, I'm stuck when I'm eminently free. Next tefillah. Center of all existence, Hashem. Help me find the way to that sacred sanctuary within myself, that Yerushalayim within myself. To that precious center of my existence. Help me discover my place in the world. That space where I truly belong. That space which belongs unconditionally to me. Dear God, I've wandered for so very long. Help me find my way back home. And finally, the last tefillah. Dear God, what a mess I've made of my life, a hopeless mess. How will I ever right all that I've wronged, restore all that I've ruined, fix all that I've destroyed? Only you can help me, dear God. If you don't help me, what hope is there? Help me and heal my life. These are the true tefillahs of a Jew who wants to begin Pesach with the first Mishnah in Pesachim, of checking for the chametz l'aneir. Now we can come back to the Sfas Emes and begin the landing. The Sfas Emes says, the kol chag ha-matzah is nasi ish Yisrael kebriya chadosh. Each and every Pesach, a Jew becomes mamish like a new human being. Like a little child, a baby that's newborn. And you're able to unearth and to discover and to be mechadesh that nekuda, that precious point that Yerushalayim that Hashem has planted in each and every Jew. Nekuda zu nikra lachem oimi. That simple point inside of us is called the bread of affliction, a poor man's bread. It's simple, it's unaffected, it's real, it hasn't risen, it's not phony. It doesn't have to make all kind of excuses why I do this and why I do that. It doesn't have to act macho and choshev. All of that is missing, it's a lachem oimi. She blihis rachavus. It's not expansive at all, meaning it's simple. It's the simple truth. Ki matzah hi etzem ha'isa. That's what matzah is. It is what it is. It's the actual dough itself, unfermented, not rising, not changing, not phony, but the etzem ha'isa. V'charkach, he says, nishtamis mischametzes. But what happens to the dough? Over time, it changes, and it's mischametzes, it becomes chametzdik. We all love children because children are that point of reference in our own lives of when we were once so unaffected, when we were once just simple matzah, lechem oimi. Not just when life was simple, life was good, Not just before telephones and teleconferencing and internets and iPods and all that stuff. Not just that. But before I became myself chametzdik, there's a chametz in the world Rav Kook called Chametz Ha'ilami. There's a chametzdik thing in the world, but forget about that for now. I myself, when I look at a child, I remember myself before I was chametzdik. Well, I didn't have to make a cheshbon what other people think and what this one says. I just was. K'may Chayin says, Kol Ish Yisrael, Shvasemis ends. Yesh boy nekuda. Every Jew has in him that nekuda, that point. Maton le'me'eith Hashem, the gift that God gave him, that's Yerushalayim. So here the Shvasemis tells us this is the Lechem Ayini. Now we understand how we begin the actual Magid HaGadah. Halach Ma'anya. This is the poor man's bread. And we say, whoever is hungry, come and eat. Whoever is really in need, come over here and share with us the Pesach. So we always talk about this. Who am I speaking to? It's not just I'm talking to the guests. Everybody knows that those guests have already been invited. They're already here. So what does it mean? What does it mean when you say halach man yekol dichvin kol ditzrich? If you're hungry, if you're hungry, if you're needy, it means we're talking about ourselves. The Rebbeinu Shlom is, we're saying to the Rebbeinu Shlom, I admit, I acknowledge, I confess that the only reason in the world that I continue to search for that little child, that little Yerushalayim inside of myself after all these years of filth, of schmutz, of chametz, the only reason I continue is because after all these years of Baruch Hashem, I'm still hungry. I'm still in the category of kol dichvin. And I'm still needy. I'm still hungry for your goodness. I'm still thirsting and longing for your salvation. I still want to be a better Jew. I refuse to let go of my life and to allow myself to die as a piece of chametz. I refuse to die without coming back to Yerushalayim. And therefore we begin Magid by saying, Holach Ma'anya, I'm a matzah, Rebbeinu Shloilam, Alechem Ayini, and I'm still hungry, I'm still in need, and I still want to change. I still am hungry for redemption. I don't just talk about Yerushalayim, I don't just talk about Eretz Yisrael, I don't just go to a couple of dinners or write a couple of checks, I'm looking for Yerushalayim, I want Yerushalayim, I want to go back to Yerushalayim. And that's how the Seder Pesach begins. It begins with telling Hashem and Baruch, yeah, I'm still searching, I'm still a boidei chametz. After all these years, I'm still searching. And I refuse to satisfy myself with some phony impersonation of who I'm supposed to be. I refuse to satisfy myself with a lie, making myself feel good because I'm doing this, I'm living a lie for 20, 30, 40, 60, 70 years, and I'm going to die as a liar. I won't do that. Halach ma'anya, I proclaim, I am a poor man, I am a child, once again I haven't risen, once again I'm honest, I found the chametz, I am mevatel the chametz, and I'm telling you, Baruch Shalom, I'm hungry for redemption. I'm needy of your help. Now we understand, let's say, now we understand, the Rambam's gevaldik, listen, the Rambam says, you know that the custom of the Jewish people is that the first one who asks the four kashas is the little kid. Usually the youngest child begins the kashas. Why is that? So listen, the Rambam of course is telling us in Chometz HaMatzah Perek Zayin, the din of that we have to begin the Haggadah by saying over the unpleasant past of our people and then moving towards the good stuff that follows. So the Rambam writes it like this: Keitza, Maschil u'Mesapesh u'Betchila hayu avaseinu b'Meiterach
umilafonav kaifrim betoyin achra hevel. We begin the Haggadah by saying that in the old days, originally our ancestors, in the days of Terach and before Terach, were what? Were heretics, were idolaters, were idol worshippers who were chasing after narishkeit, the right from the achra, avodas elilim, after idols. And the Rambam says in the Sayyim, B'dasa Emesh, Kevonu Hamakim Loi. And we have to conclude the Magid by saying, but now Hashem has brought us to the truth, to be people of Torah. So how did this change? How did we change Taka from what? From Oydeh, Avodah Zorah, Oydeh, Elilim, or right from Akra Hevel, Akra Elilim. What happened? Who did that? Who changed us from idol worshippers to God worshippers? Another Rambam, the famous Rambam at the beginning of Avodah Zarah, Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Everybody knows. Kevan Shenigmal, the Rambam is telling us the history of our people from the beginning. Kevan Shenigmal Eisan Zeh. When this powerful child, Avraham, when he was weaned, when he stopped nursing, being nursed, Hizkel is Shaitei Bedato, as a kid, he began to think, he began to wander in his mind. Vehu katan, and he was a little boy. And the Rambam continues. Vahaya tamei, and he was wondering, he was asking, he was questioning. Heyach evshashia galgal hazen noyeg tomid, v'yiloy mandi. How could it be that the world is just turning it? There's no one that's turning it. There's no one in charge. Ki yeshash asayim v'zatzim, it can't be that what? That is turning itself. So who was the person that stopped that monotonous current of idolatry, of narishkeit? Who was the one who stopped that? A child stopped it. A little boy. And how did that little boy stop it? Avraham Avinu was a child. How did he stop it? The Rambam says, Hayatameh, he was wondering, he didn't settle. He was asking questions. He was wondering, he was thinking, he was asking, how can it be, Manishtana? Therefore we honor the little children with a question to begin, the littlest one, to begin with Manishtana. Because like the Rambam says, V'hukotam. Because Avraham Avinu was a child, was searching, and he saw a world that was coming to it. He saw a world where God was concealed, was covered, and people took for granted silliness that they got from their parents and grandparents, idols and narishkeit, that they got from their parents and their grandparents. And Avraham Avinu said, Ad kan, enough. I'm asking, I'm wondering, I'm thinking, I'm not going to settle. Manishtana, what's the difference? And because of that, I believe we honor the little one in the house, the little Avraham Avinu, the little Sari Menu of our lives. And then we have the custom, as brought down from the Ariya Kodesh and from many poskim, that after the children of all ask the four kashas, then the Balabayas should repeat and ask also himself, Manishtana. Because on Pesach night, the aside of Pesach night, is that each and every one of us should become like a little boy, like Avraham Avinu, who is in a world filled with craziness, filled with chametz, filled with Avodah Zarah. And just like Avraham Avinu stopped the entire pattern, he stopped that whole world and he said, enough, maspid dayenu, and he said, genug. And he was thinking and asking and wondering. So the Baruch Shalom is saying, teaching every one of us, tonight you are that child. Pesach, you're that child. Pesach, you can jump, you can leap, you can skip, just like kids. As I mentioned the other day, wherever a child goes, the little ones, they're always hopping and skipping and jumping. At some point they slow down and then they start to crawl like us. But in the beginning they're always running and jumping. It's Pesach, Dick. Shouldn't change in a minute. Shouldn't live with Pesach. The whole life is bechipozoin. The whole life is a second mamish to jump. And at Pesach night, we each and every one of us can become that way. And I saw in the Haggadah from the Tzaddik from Yerushalayim, from Gamliel Rabinowitz, that he came out with the Haggadah this past week. And the Tzaddik of the Gamliel says over there, the instruction in the Haggadah says, Kan HaBen Shoel. Here the son asks. Before the man son, here the child asks. So he says, this is the question. Are you a Ben or are you an Eved? Are you God's child or are you just some bored and tired slave that's going through the motions? Kan. Here's where you decide. What's the difference between a slave and a child? Haben Shoel. The child still asks. The child still wants to grow. The child is still ready to change. The child is asking like Avraham Avinu who cotton. This is the avoidance of entering into Pesach. Play too short, Maisim.
Everybody here heard of the great Tzaddik Mishlaim, Rabbi Aryeh Levine. Rabbi Yosef Zalgazunzain, his father-in-law. Everybody also knows that Rabbi Aryeh Levine used to go and visit the Jewish prisoners. The Jews who were taken prisoners by the British. And they loved Rabbi Aryeh. My wife had an uncle, a relative, who was one of those Jews. The Irgun, Yidden that were taken as prisoners. And Rabbi Aryeh used to go all the time. They loved him. He was mechazik them. He brought many of them to do tshuva. So Rabbi Aryeh once went, it was the first day of Pesach, Rabbi Aryeh went to see the prisoners. And of course they ran to him, they gathered around him, and Rabbi Aryeh said to him, Yidden, what? How did it go last night? How was the Seder? So they said, Rabbi, the Seder was gevaldik. We were able to have, they had matzahs, they had wine, they were able to make a Seder. But one of the chevres said, but Rabbi, there was one part of the Seder that wasn't so geschmack. It wasn't so good. And Rabbi Aryeh said, what part? He said, the part of Shvei Chamos, you know, opening the door for Eliyahu. Didn't work out, you know. We asked the warden, he said we have a Jewish custom to open the front door. So we'd like to know if it's possible if you could open the front door just for this one moment. And they didn't let us. So that part, Rabbi, that wasn't so geschmack, you know. Shvei Chamoscha wasn't so good. Everything else was fine. So Rabbi Aryeh said, ach. And there's a word from the Kotzke also like this. Rabbi Aryeh said, do you think that's what it is, the door in the house? The way to open a place for Eliyahu is in the heart of a Jew. There are Jews, Rabbi Aryeh said, who live in beautiful homes with big doors. Big doors, like now maybe you could have with two doors, heavy doors. You have to hire a special person just to open the door. It's so heavy. Right? Big doors. You have the fanciest, nicest doors in the world. And you can go there and have a whole big Kabbalah's panim, and you make a big Shvei Chamos, and you open the door, and you have a beautiful front yard, a beautiful backyard, you open the door, it's gormish, and the Anovi's not there, Rabbi Aryeh said. And you could live behind barbed wire, locked up in a cell. And if you have an open Jewish heart, Ali Anovi comes in. That's what it means to be a Yid. Unfettered. Unbound. That's what Pesach is. Unbound. Ali Anovi comes through the opening of the heart, not through the opening of the house. Through the opening of the heart. And here there's a story from a tzaddik. The Kodesh HaKadosh and the Sar Shalom from Belz. Reb Shalom Belz Eschus Yegen Eleinu. Now the Sar Shalom from Belz, you have to understand. The Sar Shalom from Belz knew Eliyahu HaNavi personally. How did he know Eliyahu HaNavi? Because everybody here must have heard that the Sar Shalom stayed up for 1,000 nights. He did not sleep for 1,000 nights. And he was Zeich for Gili Eliyahu. And Eliyahu HaNavi showed him and instructed him exactly how the big shul in Belz should be constructed. And that shul, of course, was destroyed by the Germans, Yimach Shemam, and a replica of that shul now exists in the holy city of Yerushalayim. That shul in Yerushalayim is built as close as possible to the original shul that was built with the instructions that were given by Eliyahu HaNavi to the Sar Shalom from Belz. So there was a special relationship between Belzerov and Eliyahu HaNavi. So Pesach night there was, everything was amazing, but especially Shvei Chamos. By Shvei Chamos, the Belzerov of Sar Shalom, he used to go with the family, with the Chassidim, and each one, when it wasn't a Friday night, each one would take a torch Everybody would walk out into the street singing and dancing to Eliyahu Navi. And then the other Jews from the shtetl would see, of course, they were all waiting, and they came out with their torches. Ashrei Ayin Ra'as HaZayis. And the whole town would come out with torches. And then the Belzer, the Sar Shalom, would say that everybody should go to the big shul, to the shul, and the whole town would march to the shul to get Eliyahu Navi Nachas to see the shul that we built for your sake and according to your instructions and specifications. That's how Shvei Chamasa took place in Belz every year. And it happened once, one Pesach night, that the youngest child, a little girl by the name of Fredele, that Fredele, like many children, she fell asleep during the time of Shulchan Aruch. You know, she couldn't stay up any longer. And the Rebbe and the Chassidim and the family, everybody went out and they did the whole thing. They went up into the shul, and the torches, it was beautiful, and they came back. She wakes up, you know, by Echad Miyadei or something, and she says, starts to scream, what happened? What's the Eliyahu Navi, Shvei Chamasa? And the mother, everybody said, no, don't afraid, it's okay, you're a little girl, you're sleeping. She started to cry, it can't be, and everybody tried to talk to her, and the Belzer Rebbe said, what's going on? Fredele is crying. So Belzer Rebbe says, Shah, Fredele, listen. He says, everybody come back, we're going to say Shvei Chamasa again. They stop before the Chagadja, and he himself, the Sar Shalom, Nachamal, opening the door, Shvei Chamasa, everybody get the torches, and again they went out. Can you imagine the Oilemans, the people from the town? They must have thought that this is really, really it. And the Sar Shalom went out, and he gave Fredele to lead all of the family, and all of the Chassidim. Fredele is walking with a torch, leading everybody out of the door into the streets of Belz towards the big shul. And I think about that, and I try to imagine. But Shalom Belzer said to everybody, when they came back, what a gewaldige thing Fredele taught us tonight. She taught us that it's never, ever, ever too late. And even if the door has been shut once, twice, 1,000 times, if you're a little child and you want to open it again, it's never too late to open the door. It's never too late to open the heart. The Baruch Shem should help us that Jew, Eliyahu Navi, who has the kayach of a heshiv life of the Salbanim, which doesn't only mean to bring the hearts of the parents and the children together, means in ourselves to bring our old adult hearts back together with our young little childish hearts. That Eliyahu Navi should come in Heir B'Yameinu Mashiach Ben David, the Gula Hashlem V'Hamitis in Heir B'Yameinu Amein V'Amein Afreilich and Lichtig in Pesach, Lonu L'Kol Yisrael.